Hello, everybody! Welcome to the Minimap Cast. This is episode number 6.
I'm watching this footage like a hawk.
The footage?
The fucking waveform.
Oh, if you're just joining us, which you are, because here you are, we just recorded an episode of our other podcast, the Game Spoilers Podcast, which is our monthly game club. And our footage failed twice. Not our footage, but like our recording failed twice. We've got some new audio gear, and it's the dawn of a new day, and it's a very messy day.
So nothing to do with the audio gear. It's nothing to do with the audio gear.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
The audio gear is good.
Except for the one that's broken and doesn't work.
Yeah, no, that sucks.
So, to my left is Jeremy Bratatich.
Hello.
To my right is June Williams.
Hello.
This is minimap.com.au's bi-weekly podcast, except for last week because we missed one accidentally. We apologize for that if you missed us, but we are back. We are here for you, and we are here to talk all things Game Awards and Smash Brothers.
Lovingly.
And Sonic.
We are here for you.
Exactly. From here to you.
We are here for you.
Is that the number 4?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the letter U.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Is that our slogan? Are we putting an under every podcast?
Yeah, Minimap, except here is just an ear emoji.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we are ear for you.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay. Go on. I shouldn't have said anything.
No, it's no, no.
The afternoon, and we're full of energy.
Oh, it's been a day, everybody. Okay, so the benefit of being a little late on this podcast is that the Game Awards have happened, which they wouldn't have if we recorded when we were going to last week. So we could talk about all of the winners and all the announcements that came out.
Can I stop you right there? You are recording, right?
Is the dot red above it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm just double checking.
Yes.
Because I didn't see you do it and I wanted to make sure.
I'm that smooth.
Yeah.
I'm so Santana.
It's a good joke.
With
I don't remember her name.
No, it was a man.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
It doesn't matter.
The Game Awards happened it was last Friday for us in the middle of the day. It was awesome. I had a great time watching the announcements, watching the winners.
I was working. I did not get to see it, but I was asking my boss, who was on his phone the entire time, if the Avengers game had been announced, and I was disappointed by the end of my shift.
That's so funny. Yeah, I think my biggest disappointment was that the Metroid Prime trilogy wasn't announced. I really want that on Switch, because I never got to play it on GameCube. And I didn't own a Wii U for the re-release, and I didn't ever get it on the Wii. But I would love to play those games. I played 3. I like 3. Anyway. So yeah, we're just going to talk... I think we'll go through the awards winners. Because, like, that's sort of like the Game Awards. But there's also a whole lot... there's also a whole lot of announcements that happened. So let's just start, you know, top of the pops, as the kids say.
They haven't said that
as
since, like,
the
80s.
In the 70s, yeah. As my mum used to say as a child. What am I saying? Oh, my God. Game of the Year at the Game Awards went to God of War from Sony Santa Monica. A well-deserved winning based on everything else that I've heard.
Right.
And not my own play, because I haven't played it.
You haven't played it either, do you?
No.
Right. So I'm the
Don't
only
you have it?
Yep. I have many things, Gary.
Many things. Did you end up returning We Happy Few?
Nope.
Okay. Is it still sealed?
Maybe.
Jeremy, as the resident...
God of War fucker.
This is going to be a good one.
As the resident boy.
Boy.
Yeah, that game's alright.
Oh, wow.
No, okay, so here's the thing. So
next.
No. So like, I do like that game a lot.
Okay.
I just have some issues with it, especially the ending.
Okay.
I think the last quarter goes off the rails in not a great way.
Plot-wise, gameplay-wise,
direction-wise. So, like, a lot of the game... Like, the plot of the game is your mother... dies. Okay. Well, sorry, not your mother. I'm not going to say your, because you don't play. You are not anyone in this game. Kratos' wife and the boy's mother dies.
Okay, that is sad.
And the beginning of the game is the funeral, and then she wanted her ashes scattered at the top of the highest peak.
Don't go too far into this.
I'm just saying the direction. So a lot of the direction is getting to that mountaintop, and then finding out that that's not the highest mountaintop, and then getting to the actual mountaintop. That's all fine, except a lot of the things that, like, there's there's a magical thing that's stopping you. You need to go get this item. You need to get this MacGuffin, basically, so that you can continue the journey. That happens like four... That happens one too many times, that you need to go and get something before you can get to the next part. And there is, like, story and character stuff in between, which is all really, really good. The characters are really good, and the way the story is told is phenomenal. Like, it is one of the best told stories I've ever seen.
I feel like you saying that is a good time to point out that it also won Best Game Direction.
I think it I undoubtedly deserves Best Game Direction. I don't know... Like, I would not give... Like, I don't know... I don't know what I would give Game of the Year, honestly. There are a lot of really good games this year.
Amen.
But the last part, I had issues with just another MacGuffin stopping you from getting to the last bit, and...
Did it feel drawn out? Was it, like, not earned?
I don't know if it wasn't earned. I see why it happened. I just didn't like the decision.
Okay.
That and Kratos' character arc, I hated.
Okay.
For the most part. Basically because he ends that game where he began, except the game proves him right. Okay. When...
Again, don't go too far.
No, all I'm saying is I don't think he is right. And I think the games is almost... I think the games... There's a level of narrative dissonance between him being right and what the game was telling.
Okay.
Which, if you've played the game, it's the final big fight. And the way that ends. And Kratos' decisions after that fight.
Nice and vague, I like it.
Yeah. What he says to what he does, to me, was a complete clash. But... Okay. Apart from that, the game was really good, although I beat the story and then I never touched that game again. I did not do any side stuff, did not do any extra stuff, did not explore other areas.
Was it because you didn't want to?
I was just sort of done. Mm-hmm. The gameplay was good throughout the entire thing. Like, it was heavy, it was weighty, the axe is great. Mm-hmm. There have been a million articles about why that axe is great, and all of them are right. That axe is fucking really good. And then after I was done, I was like, I have no wanting to continue any of this. I almost wish that it wasn't a open world game with a bunch of side quests.
Mm.
Because I think the narrative was just so good. Mm. So, yeah, like, and it's also gorgeous, and the acting is great, and the effects and the world is just stunning. All the realms that you go to in that game are so good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really... I'm looking forward to getting into it.
It's 100% worth the play. Like, it's 100% worth finishing also. Like what that game does is great.
Okay.
I just have gripes.
Fair enough. That's good. That's fair. Not a 10 for you.
No, like, 8.5 to 9.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Where did Spider-Man end up on that?
I don't know.
I really dug Spidey. Like...
Honestly, same. 8.5 to 9.
Okay.
I have less, like, obvious issues with Spider-Man. It's more like some of the side stuff was almost meaningless. Mm. But I, in the end, I also did those... I think I ended up doing the side stuff because I really liked the movement.
Honestly. Yeah, me too. It was just fun to be.
Yeah.
It did felt a bit like a chore.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was like, there was a lot of, like, padding and filler content in some of the extra stuff.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was too much, though. I felt like it was just the right amount.
I mean, it was entirely...
Because all I wanted was to play that game as much as I could.
Right,
and then by the time I had, like, platinumed it and 100%ed everything, I was was just enough. I felt like, for me, it was, like, perfect.
Right.
I mean, I know platinuming something is supposed to be a chore, because you've got to get everything, but, like, I don't know, I couldn't platinum it.
Because
I'm tired of this now.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because, like, yeah, because you... have to swing around and wait for the thing to say there's a crime in the area. All randomized, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And I couldn't do that.
Fair enough. I just wanted any excuse to do anything in that game, so...
Did you get the DLC?
Not yet. I'm going to get it when it's full. And
I have.
And then I will...
Have you got it?
Yes.
Have you played it?
I played like half of it.
Is it good?
That's alright.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard good things about the first bit. Not so great about the second.
Right.
The third one's coming out soon.
They look like those sort of like... mandated DLCs. Like,
I've heard the second part is like, but the first part is like playing more of the rest of the game.
Okay. Yeah, it is quite good.
It reminds me of like how every Assassin's Creed has like two or three DLC chapters at the end, and they're
Snore.
Yeah, they're never really that good.
No, they're not. And you never miss anything.
No.
And then you get the Game of the Year content and you're like, oh, this is what I missed. Now I've got a spiky sword.
Yeah. They're not like Bethesda expansion packs.
Yeah.
Which are somewhat weighty.
So God of War also won at the Game Awards Best Action Adventure Game. Which is, you know, good. Okay. Good for them.
Yeah,
best for their combat.
I can see it. I totally can see that.
Yep. Best ongoing game went to Fortnite.
I mean,
no questions.
Like, was there any?
What did you guys think of the they announced like the block and the creative?
Oh, that's right. I think it's a really cool idea.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
I think it's great for the people who are in that ecosystem. I don't think it's going to draw anyone in. Like, I look at that, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
No, but back you know, to doing. But what I like most of. At uni, like, everyone was like, how did you start game design, right? It's like, oh, I started by modding stuff. Or I started by, I don't know, building stuff in StarCraft. I don't know.
Yeah, sort of those, like, curated
crafting.
This is going to
be, like, the next one of that, right? It's going to, like...
It'll be, like, the Minecraft modding scene, probably.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it'll give kids the opportunity to be creative and say, like, level design's good, actually. You know?
And especially because it's a free game. Like, it's... Like, this is also... that was announced roughly the same time that the Epic Game Store was announced, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, Epic have also announced that having a studio in Australia. They're going full guns blazing on getting everyone interested in, like, any sort of game-related development or,
absolutely.
Like,
Epic,
interest.
Epic is in for the pie. Yeah. Like, they're coming for the mindshare. Like, they're going after Valve.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
And first people in, like, a decade and a half to be able to take on Valve.
They're doing a good job of it.
Finally! Yeah, and, like, what were the two games they also announced that were going to be free on the Epic Store? Was it Subnautica and the other one?
Wasn't Hades on the Epic Store?
Yes, Hades is...
Hades was a trial, $20...
It's $20 early access exclusive
to the
Epic Store, as well as Ashen.
Right, okay. But, like, they announced two free games on the Epic Store that you could just add to your Epic account. One was Subnautica, I don't remember what the other one was.
Yeah, right.
And does anyone know what the cut for the profits are on the Epic Store? Is that announced?
Yes, it is. I think it's, like, 80 to 85%, I think, goes to the developer.
Right, okay, good, yeah.
Which is, like, way higher than Steam's.
Infinitely better than...
Oh, Super Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy Forever, okay. Yeah.
Infinitely better than Steam's, you get... we take a third.
Yeah, we take... No, it's 70-30, so they...
Yeah, Steam take a third.
God, I'm looking at the Hades art again.
Sorry, 30%, yeah, you're right.
They announced recently, though, Steam announced recently that... They're trying to keep their big contenders still in the game, so they're like, if you start earning over $5 million on a single product, you will do a 75-25% split now. Or if you start earning, like, more than $20 million, we'll get a 80-20%, like, oh my god.
Yeah, like, that's, like, facing the entire, like looking at the entire wrong end of this. It should be, like, if you sell under 1,000 copies, then how about you give, like, 90% or something?
Totally.
Like, it's... ridiculous.
It should be inverse.
Yeah, it's
anyway
trying to help the wrong people. Then you know.
Yeah. Anyway, watch out for Epic. They're coming for Valve's lunch. Best narrative at the Game Awards went to Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay.
Again, I haven't played that as well, but June, well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Red Dead also won Best Score/Music.
See, I don't know about this because I think Celeste's music.
Celeste was incredible.
The thing is, Red Dead has like some actual orchestra choir songs.
Yeah.
And I think that was probably what tipped it above Celeste.
Yeah. Which is why I actually thought God of War was going to win that one.
Yeah.
Because it's like.
That's a similar thing.
Yeah. Like it's.
Yeah.
Very orchestral.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Fair enough.
The performance they did was. Incredible, though.
Yeah.
Oh, at the Game Awards. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was really cool.
I was...
with all of the different singers.
I was like, fucking, if they do May I, I'm going to start crying. Like, they can't come for me when I'm already wounded.
Yeah.
And of course.
Because didn't you beat the game, like...
Like, 3 or 4 days earlier.
Yeah.
And, like, epilogue and everything. And, like, May I is, like, the big Dead Man's Gun of Red Dead 2.
Right.
Like... Dead Man's Gun from Red, you know, the song, okay.
Sorry.
So yeah, they played it live, and I was crying a little bit.
That was a really good performance. They also won Best Audio Design. I would have given that to Spider-Man, honestly. With the different voice. I know Red Dead did this a bit too, but I felt like that Spidey did it as well. With the different voice lines, depending on whether Spidey's efforting or not.
Right.
Or the way the music keys into when you're swinging and then stops when you slow down and just.
But I didn't like that about. I remember I talked about when Spider-Man came out. Like, yeah. I didn't like how Spider-Man did that music when you start swinging.
Okay.
I think Red Dead had, because its scale, its scope was bigger, so like, it had more to do with audio, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, so many different sound effects, so many good sound effects.
Yeah. Red Dead 2, sort of by proxy, also won Best Performance with Roger Clark as Arthur Morgan.
Yeah, he deserves that.
I can, yeah.
Yeah. It was a good list this year. Yuri Lowenthal as Peter Parker, Melisandre Mohut as Cassandra in Assassin's Creed.
Brian Deckert as Connor.
Yep, and Christopher Judge as Kratos. Yeah. Like, it was a great year for this category, honestly.
Just going back to the audio design, I don't know if there was no real standouts.
Audio design?
No, not for design.
I'll run through the nominees. Black Ops 4, Forza Horizon 4, God of War, Marvel Spider-Man, Red Dead.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
They were good. They're all good. Like that's why they were nominated, but like...
I think we spoke about this last time, but yeah, there was no Hellblade.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, there was no game that its mechanic was audio, so like...
Yeah, it didn't play with it so much, yeah.
I'm just going to move this mic again, sorry.
Yep.
Best independent game, Celeste. Fuck yes. So good.
I wanted Florence to win.
Yeah, I was hoping for Florence. I mean,
No. Best independent game. Florence isn't nominated for that category.
That's right, because Florence won Best Mobile.
Yeah. Florence won Best Mobile. Celeste won Games for Impact, which Florence was a part of. That was where Celeste beat out Florence.
Right, okay.
We did this last time. I still think Celeste has a more impactful message than
Florence. Yeah, no, I think I agree with you, actually. Mm. I don't remember what my stance was last time.
I think the majority of it was represent.
Yeah, I think I was on my Melbourne high horse.
Yeah. Although that was the best part. Not the best part, but that was so good about Florence.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for us.
Yeah.
Anyone who's not
that's Melbourne. All that matters, Jeremy. Anyone listening to us, they know that that's all that matters. I'm, of course, kidding. best VR/AR game went to Astrobot Rescue Mission.
Yep, 100%. Cool. 100%.
I haven't played it, but that was also a stacked category. Beat Saber, Firewall Zero Hour, Moss, and Tetris Effect, all of which I've heard
so many good things about Tetris Effect.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's like a transformative VR experience, and yeah.
I think I'm going to buy it tomorrow.
Mm.
I'm so excited.
Classic Jeremy, buying things. Yeah. Best action game, Dead Cells. So glad they got something in this, because they earned it. That game is great. Did you play Dead Cells?
No, I've been thinking about getting it on Switch, but it's a platformer, right?
It's like a Metroidvania. It's not as much of a platformer, but it is a 2D side-scrolling. It's more about the combat than it is about the platforming. It's not like you're going to make any tricky jumps or anything. It's more about the hack and slash.
You know I hate that.
I'll probably enjoy it.
I'm not going
to. It looks very pretty, though. It looks very pretty.
The end. Best role-playing game went to Monster Hunter.
Yeah. What was in that category?
Dragon Quest XI, Ni No Kuni 2, Octopath Traveler, Pillars of Eternity 2, Monster Hunter.
Yeah, right. Monster Hunter's pretty good.
I've heard people talk about it, and it was like, this is where Monster Hunter had to win something, so people just picked this one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, okay. Maybe. Yeah.
I suppose. I mean, I don't know. I would have been happy with Monster Hunter not winning anything.
Yeah.
But I don't like that game that very much.
But also, like, I haven't played any of those other games. Just heard good things about. Well, Octopath and Dragon Quest, basically. Not so much Ni No Kuni or Pillars. Best fighting game went to Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yep. 100%.
Cool.
I'm so close to finishing Dragon Ball. I'm so close.
Yeah, on your little anime bin.
And then I get to start Dragon Ball Z.
Woo! I thought this was nice. Best family game beat out three Mario games and a Ubisoft game, which was Overcooked 2.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Overcooked's good, though.
Overcooked is great. What were the three Mario games?
Mario Tennis Aces, Labo, and Mario Party.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So, good on them, honestly. They've earned it. That game is... Those games are terrific.
Mario Party game wasn't very good when we played
it. No, it really wasn't.
It was...
Really?
We're pretty fucked though, so.
I mean, we were. Like, we were pretty gone, but like, the maps weren't.
No.
There's like four maps, and I think there's like remix versions of each map.
Yeah,
but
the maps are the weakest part of the game.
Yeah. So I ended up returning it. Like.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
Wasn't that always the plan though?
Yeah, but you know when I say that and I just don't do it?
Right,
like
okay.
Every other game that I've ever bought.
Right, gotcha.
Like We Happy Few.
Yeah.
Okay, that game's bad.
I want to try it.
Okay.
I'll just trade it in.
What's next, Gary?
Next up is best sports that's race. Ha! Next,
Forza.
Race! Leave that in.
Best sports slash racing game went to Forza Horizon 4.
Deserved. Great. Mm-hmm. So fucking good.
Yep. Beat out Mario Tennis Aces and FIFA and NBA and PES. Good on them.
Really good speed in Mario Tennis Aces. You really feel like you're going really fast through the countryside.
What? best multiplayer game went to Fortnite. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Best shooting game went to Combat 2018.
Okay.
One of the most uninspired titles on that list, but...
Does it say where it was from?
Inland Norway University of Applied Sciences.
Okay.
So, good on him. Last year, that was Melbourne-based, which was cool,
oh,
but...
Yeah.
Melbourne, not this year. Melbourne Swinburne.
Yeah.
Swinburne! Sorry, go on.
Best debut indie game, The Messenger. Good on him.
Yep.
That was also a stacked category. Florence Moss, Donut County, and Yoku's Island Express. Best esports game went to Overwatch. Sure. Best
Sorry.
What else did you pick?
No, I just think... Overwatch esports has so many issues, so many balance issues.
Right.
But I think that it probably won that category because of its reach with OWL.
Right,
with
yeah.
the Overwatch League this year.
Yeah.
I think that game has a lot of flaws if they want to keep making it competitive.
Mm.
With all the XQC stuff at the start of the year, and Jake from Outlaws, I feel like the players don't take the game seriously enough.
Right.
The sport seriously enough, where, you know, if, for example, you were to...
like a fighting game.
If you were to teabag in, like... Counter-Strike or something, and you're out.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas, like, Jake does it all the time and he doesn't get anything for it.
Yeah, right, okay.
And, for example, the Korean players take it seriously and the Western players don't.
Yeah.
And I think that OWL or the Overwatch League or Overwatch in general need to start treating their game like a serious sport if they want other people to start taking it seriously.
Yeah, okay.
Have you played that much recently?
No.
Have you played Ash?
No.
She's so fun.
I need to... Yeah, I've got it downloading because OWL starts again in February.
Oh my God.
So I'm excited to start playing
like, Ash is one of the most fun characters to play as just because she's also...
I've heard she's broken, though.
She's so strong!
Yeah.
She's so strong!
That's how new characters be, I guess.
That's why she's so fun!
She's quite fun.
She'll probably... Unless they fix her up, I think she'll probably be excluded from OWL at the start of the year, but...
No, they don't do that.
Yes, they do.
The fucking remember when Anna got brought in and was like, look, she's just incompetitive.
They banned Orisa from competitive stuff. Not,
really?
Not competitive in-game competitive.
Oh, okay,
gotcha.
Competition stuff. Right.
When she was first announced. I think Anna was banned for a while as well.
Right,
so they sorted out balancing issues.
That's fair, because I remember when they would just introduce characters into the main game and just like, look, they're already available.
Yeah. 2 weeks later, play Anna in competitive.
Yeah, and it's also like in the middle of a season. Like not even like at the beginning of the next, it's like in the middle of the season. It's so funny.
If there's one thing you must know about me, I do care a lot about Overwatch esports.
Well, that's good.
Unfortunately.
I'm glad we've got someone here who does pay attention to that stuff. And then, best esports player. I would have skipped over this section, but the ensuing speech was so good.
Go on. I was hoping for Jonak, but it wasn't Jonak.
It wasn't Jonak. They were nominated.
Sonic. Sorry, you.
Yeah. Sorry.
Spoilers.
Sonic Fox won for best esports player.
Okay, so Sonic Fox deserves it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And like you sort of heard about it because he won Evo, I think, for Smash.
Yeah.
And you sort of heard about it back then because. I was a Dragon Ball, my bad.
I'm pretty sure.
I thought he was a Smash player, but anyway, I'm willing to very easily accept that I was wrong about that. But anyway, I remember hearing when he won that he did the whole thing in his furry getup with his mask and stuff like that, which was cool because he like came out and said, hey, this is me, this is what I'm doing, this is who I am, and I'm gonna win like this because this is who I am.
It's literally like, ain't he just the stereotype that gamers make fun of? I mean, gamers, kind of, you know, yeah. Like quotations gamers, right? And yeah. He's come out and he's like, I'm a gay fairy and I am
yeah.
esports player of the year.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like his pinned tweet is literally, I'm gay, and then the next line, also the best Dragon Ball FighterZ player yeah. on this fucking planet, and don't forget it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so good. His bio is, I'm a black queer furry who will mix your shit in fighting games. Sup.
Yep, totally. He's and that's so basically good. What he did when he went up. Best. Except he was so endearing and heartfelt and nervous, but he pushed through it anyway and like got a little bit political but did it lightly. So like it was
he was so happy.
Bless that man.
Yeah.
What a it was so lovely. Like Yeah, hats off to Sonic Fox. I was going to say he earned it. I have no idea whether he earned it. It sounds like he earned it.
Masks on for Sonic Fox.
Yeah, exactly.
He has this tweet. I'll see if I can find it. And, yeah.
Good luck. Go on. He tweets a lot.
Yeah, he does.
I'll keep reading these out. I'll just blast through these. Best esports team was Cloud9. Okay. Best esports coach was Reaped. Okay. Best esports event, League of Legends World Championship. Okay. I
mean, that event looked incredible.
Oh, all right. Best esports host, Sioux.
Okay.
Best esports moment was Cloud. No, I'm not reading that. That's just a moment. And content creator of the year went to Ninja.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised because, like,
he played with Drake.
Yeah.
That was it.
And he got the highest. It was.
I mean, like, no, like, don't get me wrong. He's, very, what is it? Like, he's successful.
Yes.
He's absolutely very successful.
Yes.
He's also an idiot for saying stupid things, such as he doesn't play with females because he doesn't want people to think that they are sleeping together or dating or whatever the stupid shit he said, even though he's married, as if that wouldn't be enough.
Yep.
Moron.
Who would marry that man?
I don't know. There's at least one person I can think of.
His wife.
Yes. So the start of the conference started with... Jeremy, did you see this? This wasn't a trailer. It was Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony all out on stage at the same time doing a speech together.
I didn't see that.
They didn't announce anything. They didn't. They just did the speech about why we play and stuff like that. But Jeff was like, I've been waiting to do this for as long as we've been doing this. All three major console like developers out on the stage at the same time, sort of unifying the message. It was a really cool moment. Nothing happened.
So, so who was it? It was
Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Right.
No. Sean Layden for PlayStation and Phil Spencer.
Right.
For Xbox. So basically just the people you see at E3.
So did Reggie and Phil Spencer go, we play together, and then Sean Layden go, separately?
No, it was nothing like that. It was all very meted. They'd had like three people on each of their PR teams look over that whole thing and say like, no, not that word, not that one. You know, they all got traded. They all had an equal amount of lines traded back and forth. It was very well done. It wasn't much more than just some words, but it was cool nonetheless. And then I'll just run through some announcement trailers that were there as well.
Did Phil Spencer wear a blazer with a game t-shirt under it?
No, he had a collared shirt on. Oh Reggie God. had a Smash Brothers shirt on, an Ultimate shirt,
under
a blazer. But yeah, Sean and Phil had both had.
Did Reggie look huge next to Phil Spencer? Because Phil Spencer's not a very tall man.
It looks fine.
Okay,
Phil's the shortest, but like it's not like whoop.
Not like the two people from what was it, Rage? Remember at E3?
Oh, yeah!
That was, like, the gigantic guy, like, the little guy.
Yeah, the one from Avalanche and then the one from Id or something.
That's
like
right,
that.
Yeah. It was the guy from Id and the guy from Avalanche. I'm pretty sure his name was actually Thor.
Something like that. Yeah. It was a very, like, Swedish sort of name. It was like an Icelandic sort of something.
That was one of the funniest visuals of that entire conference.
Yeah.
God, did you know Sonic Fox gained 25,000 followers from the day after the game wars.
I'll bet he did.
25,000.
Yeah.
He's probably already got hundreds.
Because Sonic Fox was huge in, like, mostly the Neversoft fighting games.
Oh, right.
NetherRealm, sorry. NetherRealm.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat and Injustice, yeah. Waypoint put out a profile on Sonic Fox.
Mm.
It might have been like 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Like, super, super cool profile.
Keep doing new Sonic Fox. You're killing it.
Yeah.
So, Epic has launched... We were talking about this before, but Epic has now launched its Steam competitor, which is the Epic Store, I think.
Yep.
Basically, they're coming for Valve's lunch, yep. And it looks like they're doing really well with that. They've got a few exclusives. And basically, they're the only people who've got the money and the revenue stream to be able to do something like that. So watch this space. They're starting to institute things like cross-achievement systems and an SDK so that any games made in Unreal can work cross-platform and stuff like that. Like,
they're also allowing non-Unreal games on their store.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's no, really they're really going for it. So watch this space. Ashen came out. I'm not really sure what that one's about, but I've heard good things about it. It sounds like, what does this say? This says the fantasy adventure game, which looks to be inspired by Dark Souls and Team Ico classics.
Team Ico.
Yeah, Team Ico Dark Souls.
Ooh.
oh, that's right. Journey is now out on PC on the Epic Store, which I thought was really strange.
Are you gonna buy it? Are you gonna get it?
I have it already on PlayStation.
That doesn't answer my question.
No.
Oh.
Why would I do that?
I'm going to do it.
But do you have it already?
On PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4. That game's really good.
Okay.
I just want another excuse to play that game. I fucking love that game.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. It's like Statue. Statue?
Statue.
Statue Valley.
Sounds like the new Starburst lolly.
Yeah, it's where you go out to buy lollies.
Starburst.
Yeah. It's a lolly farm.
I was thinking about a farm where you harvest trains.
Choo-choo.
Statue.
Supergiant Games, who most recently made Pyre, which we all, which June and I loved on one of our...
I like that game. Yeah, I don't not like that game.
Yeah, but you don't love it.
I don't love it.
We love it.
Yeah.
And that was the sentence. That's why I backed you out of it.
Yeah.
They've come out with an early access game exclusive to the Epic Store, which is Hades, which looks amazing. Like visually looks incredible.
That boy was made for me.
Yes.
He's got a black and red aesthetic, and he has, like... the Cerberus on his shoulder.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's my boy.
Absolutely. And, like, yep, I know what you mean. He's looking pretty good as well.
The soundtracks are also out as well, and it's fucking... It's super dope.
Is it the same composer from...
Yeah.
Right. Has that composer done all of the previous...
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Darren Korb.
Right.
I would die for that man.
It's also... It looks right up my alley in terms of gameplay, with that sort
it's
of roguelike...
It's right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, start again, try and get as far as you can sort of a deal.
Top-down, side-scroller...
Top-down. Oh, isometric.
Okay. I want to talk briefly
about... So more
like
a transistor.
Like, kind of like Diablo, kind of. Oh, yeah, like okay. Transistor. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely like Transistor. That same sort of 2D...
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk a bit about the trailer for Far Cry... Far Cry...
New Dawn.
New Dawn, thank you.
Can I read Sonic Fox's tweet that I was looking for?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Damn, made a lot of right-wingers angry today. To them, all I have to say to you is, suck my fucking dick, LMFAO.
Oh my god, so good.
He's very good. Sorry, go on.
Oh, I love it. So, the Far Cry New Dawn trailer came out, and it was like the first... It had this, like, monologue from these twins.
Yeah.
These black twins, basically, from America, and... They're going to be the villains of the game. And I was really shocked for a while because I forgot that Far Cry markets their games with their villains.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I thought these were going to be the protagonists. I was like, oh, yeah. First, like, female protagonists you play as in a Far Cry game and they're people of color, but they're also incredibly violent and rude and cruel. And I was like, oh, no, they're the villains. So I don't know how I feel about this one because it was... I don't know. In terms of representation, I was like... You kind of just took the minority and you made them the villains, which you kind of do in every game in Far Cry.
I mean, not Far Cry 5.
No, then the villains are just what, like...
It's like Brian Jonestown Massacre level. Yeah. I don't know, it's also not what I wanted. I remember tweeting out, because the poster got leaked.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, this looks pretty rad.
How can they make another Far Cry game so close to Far Cry 5.
It's made with Far Cry 5's map. It's like a spin on 5.
Okay. So, yeah, like, so
it's like how Primal was made on Far Cry 4's map.
Okay.
Same with Blood Dragon used parts of 3 as well.
Yeah, that was similar because that was Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. That was like a DLC spin-off, but they've all sort of worked within that framework.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Far Cry's never been great on representation. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was just watching that trailer, I was just like, oh, God, just a letdown. For me, at least.
I mean, but that's like you for every Far Cry game, though. You don't like those games very much.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, I played about 20 hours of 3, and I played 10 hours of 4, and it was exactly the fucking same, and 5 looks the same, and Primal looked like that, except without the wingsuit, so why bother? And yeah, no, it's not my bag.
Yeah,
but that's all right. The Outer Worlds looks amazing.
Oh my god, finally!
It looks so. This
give
is
give me
Obsidian's,
my spiritual successor to Fallout New Vegas.
Exactly.
Please.
It's Obsidian Entertainment's new RPG, who made Fallout New Vegas, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Pillars of Eternity. They're now a first party studio by Microsoft, but I'm pretty sure this is launching on PS4 as well.
I think so.
It looks like No Man's Sky, crossed with Fallout, crossed with Borderlands.
Sorta.
It looks great. Like the sort of wacky sort of nature of it looks Borderlands. The gameplay and like RPG elements look like Fallout, and then it looks like it's in the setting of No Man's Sky, but with like people in it. Like
it's populated.
Some Man's Sky.
Yeah. That game looks really cool.
Yeah.
I'm
out next year.
Yeah, which is... So there's a part in the trailer which like really like stuck with me because I was thinking like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted, which is there's a part where you get given a gun in the trailer and then just is like you have to shoot one of the people or something, and then you shoot one of them and then the characters who are left like look like surprised, and then the character says, you know, you didn't have to shoot that person, right? And I was like, yes, that's exactly what fucking Obsidian games are like. They are so many choices without you even realizing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what New Vegas was. It was just the perfect... Oh, man. New Vegas is so good.
Yeah, the character is like, you didn't have to do that, but whatever, you just keep being you.
Yeah. God, yes.
Speaking of No Man's Sky, Hello Games, the creators of No Man's Sky, have a new game which they've called a Hello Games short called The Last Campfire, which looks like gorgeous.
I'll be so interested to see what they do with this, because like, Hello Games has only made No Man's Sky, right?
Yeah.
And Joe Danger,
oh,
which was a really
right.
like great arcade game, but like nothing like this and nothing like No Man's Sky.
So I'll be interested to see how they do it.
Absolutely.
What it's like.
It looks incredible from the trailer.
Mm.
Mortal Kombat 11 was announced in a pretty cool way. Cool. New Dragon Age was teased. Cool.
The fucking
was it even though
it was
yeah it was actually teased.
Yeah, Solus,
right?
Which
okay
is at the end of
gotcha
Dragon
and it was
Age
introduced 3. By someone from BioWare. It was Casey Hudson.
Oh, okay.
It was a, a
oh,
really big lead
trailer
up to like a 5-second trailer.
Yeah,
but that mural people have been like decoding and stuff as well.
Yeah,
so
right, that's cool. And then the big one, well, the big one for the time that was full of hype and sort of everyone's been talking about since was that the first Smash Brothers Ultimate DLC pack has been announced. It's going to be...
What a great trailer, by the way.
Oh, it's like a fantastic trailer. And it didn't give anything away until, like, the penny drops when you see the Smash logo.
Yeah.
It's going to be the protagonist from Persona 5, who's Joker, which has lit the internet aflame in, is Persona coming to the Switch? When is this going to come? What does this mean for other Persona games? Like, what about this? An excellent trailer, and it's cool to have been a part of the hype.
The way they did it was cool as well. It was like just went black and like the static on the screen.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Don't
forget, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 was announced.
That's
for
true.
Switch.
That's true. Switch exclusive.
Yeah,
it looks quite good.
I love those games.
Yeah,
those games are really. They were at the time. They were really really cool.
It's been a while though. Hey, like,
I mean, they brought it
8 years.
It's a multiplayer one.
Yeah, that's that like.
Is that where Knife Dad's from? Have you seen The Monster Factory Knife Dad?
No.
Okay, never mind, sorry.
No, not that.
What is that is?
No, Marvel Ultimate Alliance is like a... It's almost like a Diablo sort of...
It's like a Diablo beat-em-up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's got like a huge roster of characters. It's got like 50 or maybe not 50, maybe like 40 playable characters or something.
Yeah.
And then they brought him out on PC not long ago, like sometime last year.
Yeah.
And now 3 is coming to Switch, which is very exciting, because those games... when that game, those games came out, they were so cool. And they had some of the most really surprisingly realistic cutscenes.
Yeah, right.
Like, super strange, like, super really well animated, like, mannerisms and, like, you know, shifting in position of, like, of their feet when characters weren't talking.
Mm.
Like, really, really well made. And, yeah, it's, like, as you can imagine, a lot of it, a lot of the costumes are very MCU sort of based.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanos is in it, again, because that's what Marvel's been... they've been pushing out the fucking Thanos content for the past, like, 4 years now.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Yeah.
And it makes me glad, because he's my favorite villain, but also there are some really good villains that they haven't used yet. Yeah, I'm gonna buy that game day one.
Champions Online is the game I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Right, okay. I don't know what that is.
It's another superhero online game.
Right. Oh, yeah, okay, I do remember which video you're talking about, yeah.
So yeah, that's a brief rundown of what happened there. It was a really great conference, honestly. There wasn't too much shoehorned in. Like, the sponsorships were really well done. Like, Spotify sponsored one of the categories. It was the soundtrack category. And then, like, Facebook did a bunch of... They had sponsorships in there, but it was like they were doing profiles on people in the gaming industry who were pushing. So they had someone who I think was from... the Congo, I think, like, it was somewhere like that.
The phone game one, that guy.
Or maybe from, it wasn't from Syria, but it was someone from Africa,
right,
who had been able to make a game sort of about saving, like, protecting cities and villages from bombs,
right,
and
okay,
like the game sort of like spread throughout like refugee camps and sort of,
right, okay,
it's been this wonderful thing. And they did a spotlight on a Stephen Spohn from, or Spohn, or whatever, I can't remember how to pronounce his last name, but he's from Able Gamers,
right?
And that the woman, I can't remember,
yeah, the woman from Pakistan, I think,
yeah, she runs the game design,
that's right,
course. I don't remember the name of it though,
yeah, but all about trying to help people make games, and yeah, like a real advocate, sort of like a Rami type figure,
yeah,
yeah. So yeah, it was a really great showing. Like, honestly, if you haven't seen it and you like all this stuff and you want to see all these trailers, try watching the show. Because, like, they had some great introductions to the categories. Honestly,
it felt like a mini E3.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun. Yeah.
It was great. Like, who's the frontman from Panic at the Disco?
I don't fucking know.
Neither do I. But, like, it's a deal. It's a band. Someone, like...
I love the looking exactly, like, directly at you for that answer. Hey. Also.
I don't know. Like,
I was never a Panic fan.
I'm asking that because I'm entirely devoid of all, like,
do you know the answer without you even knowing?
Maybe. I think that's either Fall Out Boy or Panic. I think it might be Brendan Urie. Brendan? Is it Brendan
that
or
sounds
Brian?
Right.
Is it Brendan or Brian?
I don't know.
Sorry to everyone that likes Panic at the Disco.
Anyway, he came out and he made, like, a really funny speech.
Never Stop Changing 2007. Sorry, keep going.
What, me?
No, people who still like Panic at the Disco.
Yeah. Yes. Fuck. I knew how to turn to.
Go on.
It was a great show.
It was fun. I had a lot of fun.
Keely's great.
Yeah, he's done it really well this time. All of the kinks have officially been ironed out with this one, I think.
Right.
It's done. Yeah. I'd seriously recommend going in to look it out. Going out to look it in? What? Going to look at the show. Watch it. It was good.
You recommend checking it out.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Am I breaking?
Speaking of breaking, let's take a break.
Let's have a Kit Kat.
We're not sponsored.
Oh, no.
If you want it, though, let us know.
No.
We'll be back in a moment. And we're back. Welcome back to the podcast.
We forgot to clap sing.
June's question.
Into my microphone.
Oh, it's a mystery. Who knows?
It's June's question corner.
Oh,
is it June's question corner?
Yeah.
I assume you've come up with something other than the F word for the topic as the show notes.
It's colourful now, though. So.
Which F word is that, Kerry?
Fridge.
Don't we have to pay for it to have an explicit label if we say swear words?
We have to pay.
No, we don't have to pay. It's a tick box.
Mm, okay.
But also, we've sworn and not done that. But I don't think we should do that because, like, we don't want to
dissuade.
Yeah.
Probably should do that.
Here's a question.
We're not like an R-like audience, though. We're like an M audience.
We're an MA audience.
Who's
MA?
Here's the question.
Yeah?
What is the best...
Your favourite swear word.
What is the most memorable time that you have ever had playing an online game with strangers? Strangers. Do you want me to go first so you guys can think about it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was playing Overwatch one time, maybe 2 years ago, and I was playing with a IRL friend against some other random people, and my IRL friend was talking about McGenji in the chat.
Talking about what?
McGenji?
McGenji?
McCree and Genji, the ship. And how, like, it is better than McCree and Hanzo.
So it's not like the McRib. Because that's the direction I thought you were going.
No.
Processed Genji.
And how it's better and, like, more Galaxy Brain than McHanzo.
Galaxy Brain.
And we made friends with these three other people from the opposite team who were, like, agreeing with us and, like, saying, yeah, McGenji is 10 times better because of these reasons. And it turns out they were from New Zealand, and we talk to them all the time, and I've met, like, two of them now in person, and one of them's a game designer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
That's cool.
Mm.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. That reminded me.
Two of them, actually. I met one of them this year for E3. I mean, Games Week.
You went to
E3. You went to E3. For Games Week, sorry.
All right.
You saying that reminded me of the week of Overwatch's launch, when I was playing with Ollie and a couple of other friends, but we didn't have a full team. And it was back when you could pick the same character as someone else.
Yeah.
And we're on Volskaya Industries, which is, if you're not familiar with it, there's a capture point at the end of the map with, like, platforms that, like, spin around. They go around the whole...
They go outside to the enemy team and then come back in again.
Yeah, exactly, to your control point. All six of us were Bastion, which is just a giant turret, and, like, all of... So we called it the Bastion go-round. Like, two or three of us did it, and then we all did it. And we defended the round the entire time. We won that round. And there's this amazing picture that I took screenshot of, and it's part of my, like, rotating desktop backgrounds. And it's the winning poses of, like, all six Bastions, and, like, we've all got different skins and stuff like that. And it was like, oh my god, we did it! It was great.
That's a relic.
Yeah.
You can't feel like that. They faded that picking the same hero out so fast.
Yeah. Really fast. Like, that was a special moment. I'm going to keep thinking, though, because I feel like I've got something else.
It reminds me of the time that I think we were playing Overwatch very early, as well, like, into its launch, and... I was a Symmetra, and I had my ult, which back then was just the teleporter from the spawn room.
Mm-hmm.
And I snuck around to the very back of the, like, behind where the enemy was, and I told everyone to go back into spawn, and we had about 15 seconds left.
Yeah.
And then I put down my teleporter, and we just back-capped, like, the entire point, and they just couldn't get back fast enough, because they were mostly, like, spawn camping.
Oh, they were spawn camping, yeah.
And I'd snuck through, and we ended up winning, and... I had tears coming out of, like, my eyes, because it was just one of the fucking funniest things at the time.
I could tell whether you're going to go funniest or, like, the purest thing.
Right, it was extremely good.
Jeremy, you told me a story recently about when you were playing The Division, which was also at the same time that you were watching The West Wing.
That was not my favourite moment, but it was a funny moment.
It's my favourite moment.
When I was playing The Division on one monitor, and the other monitor had Stan open, and I was watching The West Wing, and West Wing's got very... If you've ever seen it, the music is very, like, recognisable.
Yeah, and the dialogue too.
Like, the dialogue as well, but, like, especially the music, because it's, like, in between scenes, it's, like, there's, like, one sort of little motif that plays through in between every episode. To the point where when my parents were watching it when I was very young and didn't watch it, years later when my dad showed it to me, I was like, oh, this is the show you and mum used to watch all the time. I recognize the music. Anyway, I didn't realize I had my alt chat on while I was playing The Division. And I'd never seen anyone in that game for, like, such a long period of time. And then I walked past this guy and the music was like, dum da da dum da da dum dum da da dum da da dum dum. And the guy was like, was that The West Wing? And I was like, what the fuck?
And you'd been playing for, like, 3 hours?
I played, like, for an entire evening. And I was like, yes. And he's like, nice. And I'm like, thanks. And I walked away. And I was, like, so embarrassed. I was so, so, so embarrassed. Okay, but, so, like, here are my actual answers. I have two, one very short, which is just basically the first time I played Destiny. Journey. Because that's such a special... The first, you never forget your first time playing Journey, probably, because it's just, it's so unique, and you're not really sure, because, like, there's, so in Journey, there's no direct communication, and you don't find out who you're playing with until you beat the game, and it gives you a list of everyone you've met, and once you start doing puzzles with someone in Journey, they stay with you, pretty much. So you can
Unless you move and the other person stays. Like, you can split off.
Yeah, like, you can split off, but for the most part, you're working toward the same goal, and you develop a really quick relationship with that other person.
Mm.
Like, where you're just sharing this gorgeous fucking game.
Mm.
And such, like... It's such an intimate game, and it's such a special game. And especially because there's a section of the game where your character sort of, like, dies... whatever it is, and then it's reborn towards the end of the journey.
Mm.
And in that moment, you lose contact with your character, and then it takes roughly the same amount of time for both players to get to the same spot. Like, it's there's no real challenge.
Mm.
And then when you're reborn, you're reunited back with that character again.
Mm.
And you immediately start, like, doing, like, turns at each other, and you start dancing at each other.
It's sort of like, it's chirpy, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you're sort of, like, singing to each other.
Yeah, you are, and it's... And you're like dancing with them, and it's so good every single time.
Mm.
And then there's never really any need to, like, message them or after. They let you know, like, your username. Mm. Like you, the game shares usernames at the end through the credits. But, like, there's never been, like, a... Like, I think once I got a message saying, hey, thanks for playing, and I was like, yeah, thank you for playing as well.
Mm.
But, like, that was it. There's never really need of, like, you know, hey, let's keep in contact or whatever, because, like, you know.
Yeah.
The other moment was back in the glory days of the Xbox 360.
Glory days, okay.
Old
Man Jeremy
But so Halo 3 and Halo Reach, when those games came out...
Okay, yeah, no, that is the golden age.
They had such a... Like, it was just, you would get on and you would have 17 friends all on at the same time.
Yeah.
Like you would make friends through Halo, you would... have friends at high school, and everyone was either playing.
You'd catch up for Halo. You'd make time for Halo.
Yeah, it was Halo. It was Modern Warfare 2 or Black Ops.
Gears,
not as much.
Mm.
And Trials of Minecraft.
Yeah.
It was those like few games, and playing Halo 3 custom maps was so special. But so there's an achievement you have to get in Halo, which is a really really hard achievement, where you have to play the last level with all skulls on, and skulls are like game modifiers.
Mm.
So all skulls on, which is like some of those skulls are really hard. Like, one person dies, you get sent back to the previous checkpoint.
Yeah.
You have to complete the level, which is like a giant fight, and then a race with cars over like this exploding area. Then you jump off a ramp into a spaceship.
Yeah.
Like prime Halo sci-fi stuff.
It's really good.
It's and the music is so good, and it's blaring, and you're all together, except you have to do it with like a separate vehicle, which you have to go really far out of your way to do it, to find it. And I was playing with these Americans, because back then the Bungie forums was like how you would meet people in Halo. And I was playing with these Americans, and we were having such a funny time, because I was the only Australian, and they were asking me all these questions about Australia, basically the Australian episode of The Simpsons and Crocodile Dundee, which is the only thing they knew about Australia.
Yeah.
And they were saying stuff, what do Australians really think of, Americans? And I was like, oh, you know, the stereotype is, like, dumb, stupid, fat, lazy, stuff like that. And I was like, we also make fun of your accent a lot. And literally, without hesitation, like, all the Americans are like, what accent? And there was just, like, this moment where the entire party of, like, six people just erupted in laughter. It was so, so, so funny. And it was a moment I will never forget, because we did it for, like, an hour, because it's so difficult. Just one level over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it was so, so, so much fun that I still have them on Xbox, and, like, I don't talk to them. But every now and again, I'm like, huh, I wonder what... And I still remember their names. I could tell you their names right now if I wanted to over the thing.
Did you get the achievement?
Yes. Yeah, we did. And it was great. And we were all so happy by the end of it, except it didn't pop for one of them. So he was like, oh, can we do it again? And all of us are like, no! So he had to find someone else to do it.
Oh, that's sad.
But yeah, it was like, it was those days back then on the Xbox 360 were unlike any online console days I've ever had since.
I think that's fair enough.
Like, the PS4 didn't really have that. Like, it's not super... It's not... So, the 360 was so social.
Yeah, that was when it blew up.
Yeah. And it was so encouraging and inviting towards making friends over Xbox, and it wasn't as toxic as a lot of public games were. I mean, it still was, but it was, I don't know, it was just, there was enough people that plenty of it wasn't toxic, and you could just easily avoid the toxic people by just muting them.
Yeah.
Very, very, very fond memories of those days.
Absolutely, yeah. The 360 was a, it was a time. Mm. I wasn't a part of that time, but I saw it from afar on my Wii.
It was good on the other side of the fence. Any more?
Yeah, do you have any more multiplayer?
I don't think so.
I think the only thing I can think of is when I did the Destiny raid back in 2014.
Right, okay.
Didn't have many friends who had Destiny, who had a PS4 even. It was early. 2014, and I'd just like gone on to like Destiny Australia or whatever, or something like that, or just a general Destiny group, and it was like, okay, we're gonna aim for this time, we're gonna do that, and so I started it at 8 o'clock, like after dinner, and Sam was coming over at like 9:30 or something like that, and so Sam was like tired, so Sam got there and like watched me play for like 10 minutes. I was like, I'm just gonna go to bed, see you when you come to bed. I was like, alright, see you when I want to go to bed. And this is when I was living at my mum's too, so mum was like, alright, I'm going to bed. I'm like, bye mum. And I'm just playing, and I wasn't in bed till 4:30. I got into bed, I was like, oh my god. And we beat the whole thing, but like it took so long. Like, we were lucky that someone had, like, seen how to, like, go through the maze and how to do the thing. So, all we had to do was, like, practice rather than, like, discover it. But, yeah, that was cool. That was a fun time. But it wasn't, like, I didn't have any, like, great human interactions or anything like that. It was just, like, a cool experience.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I think most of mine are from competitive Overwatch.
Yeah.
So, like, having a really good game and staying on with those people.
Mm. Oh, right.
Climbing up with the same people over and over again and then adding them and then being like, do you want to play tonight?
Yeah.
And like having like the, like knowing what the team was sort of like.
Like knowing that they're good at this person. So like when you're in a team with some other people, you're like, oh, I know someone that's really good at Zenyatta. Let's bring them on instead. And like you go to your friends list. So I think I still have all those people on the friends list as well. But
yeah. Like I think season two was the first time because I didn't really pay comp in season one.
Yeah.
When season two came along, I had like a group of people who, I don't know who they are. Like I still have them on my friends list, but like them and me got like I qualified into gold, and then by the end I got like towards the end of plat, which was like big for me because I'm not big into competitive games, and all of us got to roughly the same rank towards the end, and there was just like this great synergy with the entire group, right. and it was good because we all enjoyed it too, like it wasn't just like work.
Bring back season 2 and 3 of competitive Overwatch, yeah. Please. It's like 6 or something. Yeah, it's really nasty.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like gross. The it's unbalanced.
Like it's also why I don't play it anymore because it's so aggressive all the time.
I have such fond memories of competitive Overwatch. Like I used to like you know. It was when I first got my PC for Overwatch.
That's right. I remember that. That was Overwatch. Your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I remember just sitting at home just. Non-stop, just competitive, just trying to climb for days and days and days and days and days. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
And it's not like that anymore. Anytime I play competitive Overwatch, I just get too frustrated and close it and don't play it for 6 months.
Yeah, right.
And it's just a fucking shame because I really do love that game and I think that's why I like watching it now instead of playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Cool. Should we touch on the smash of Super Bros? Ultimately?
Yeah. Game's pretty good.
That game's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm liking that game more.
I think everyone and their dog has it, though, now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? It's being quite a system seller as well.
Like anytime I, like, open my Switch, it's like there's at least 5 people playing Smash.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah. Like, it's kind of, like, the most amount of, like, activity in my friends, like, in on my Switch has had in a while.
I guess I'll go play Diablo.
But yeah, no, it's been really fun. I love Smash. I played Smash since I was like 6 years old. I had it on 64 and I had it on GameCube. And then I didn't own Brawl. I didn't own a Wii U at all. So I didn't get it for 3DS. So this is like the first Smash I've owned since the game that came out in 2001.
Right.
And I love it. I'm so glad I've got this game. And it's great just like learning all these new characters who I've like seen or I've like tried once or twice. It's nice to like take a moment and actually learn Villager or learn how to play as Corrin or to play as Ryu after last year having dabbled in Street Fighter 4.
Right, totally.
And it's got the Street Fighter specific inputs. Like, that's so cool. Like, there's so many really unique, faithful representations of a franchise within mechanics and...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm having a great time. Although I'm also learning that it's making me incredibly frustrated because I'm holding myself to, like, impossible standards. Not impossible standards, but, like, it's like I'm going to start classic mode at the 4.0 intensity. And when you... There's, like, 6 matches in a boss battle. And when you beat them, your intensity goes up a certain amount depending on your performance. And so I always end up at, like, by the time I get to the boss battle, it's, like, 9.9 is the max intensity. And when I get to the boss battle, I'm at, like, 8.5. And then I always die. And then I always get so frustrated. Like, I want to do this without continuing, because if you continue, it brings your intensity back down. And so it's like, I don't want to start lower than 4. I don't want to do a continue.
You don't want to win,
so
basically.
I just don't go anywhere. So I'm just restarting over and over, and I get myself so frustrated.
Please love yourself.
I know. I'm setting myself up for failure when I do that.
Yeah.
No, I'm having a really good time with it.
Yeah, it's I was not super. I owned Brawl, and I played Melee on a friend's GameCube back in its day, but I never.
When
had...
you were, you know, one. Is that what you sounded like back then?
No, I sounded like this. Yeah, so, the game is just, it's really good. It's just, like, fun, friendly, and it's...
tight.
It's tight. It's, I wasn't super keen on unlocking every character because... of two things. One because I think it's not great for a competitive thing for everyone to have a console that has... Like, for everyone to have a game to bring games. Like, if you were running a tournament, you'd have to have a bunch of games which every character unlocked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which
and
is
it takes,
weird.
It takes a long time. Even if you're, like, grinding it out, it takes, like, 2.5-3 hours if that's, like, all you're doing. Like,
for
doing the, like... doing No. Doing the, like, scummy, like... close the game, reopen it, reset the timer, sort of.
So every 10 minutes of game time, I believe, is what it is currently, but like it's...
there
have been
so
many mixed results.
It also includes distance walked. So like, if you like... there's this thing you could do where you can... so a challenger approaches, you beat them. Great. And then what you do then is you do a match. And then if that match finishes, then... you can exit the game, restart it, and then the next match you will do, a new challenger will appear. So you can do, like, a one-stock match, reset the console, one-stock match, challenger appears. One-stock match, reset the console, one-stock match. So people have just been like...
do you find that fun?
No, I don't. That's what some people do, because they're just like, I want the characters. Yeah. I'm really enjoying having them doled out to me slowly, and, like, really getting into it. But some people who are, like, really frustrated, like, some people who...
that was me. I was very frustrated for a while because I was like, there's a bunch of characters that I want to play as.
Yeah.
Especially some of the new ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to play like 6 hours of like in-game time to like get to that part or whatever. Mm. Or to get to like, to get to a part where I can even play Incineroar or play against Incineroar rather. And then if I lose, I have to wait another 10 minutes for him to appear in that menu option, which is like not very...
Challenger's approach.
Yeah, but like it's not very well explained and it's also just the door without...
I mean, they do tell you.
They do, but like no one saw it.
I did.
I didn't.
I... I read the words when it told me where it was, so I knew where it was.
A lot of people did not, including me, because it was not obvious. And also it should be under the Brawl section and not under like other options. And it should also be named and
menu,
not just a door.
The menu segmentation is a bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
also don't like the punishment of, hey, you didn't beat them. You have to wait 10 minutes of in-game time before you can challenge them again.
Fair enough. I mean, it sort of makes it a bit more special, but I agree. It's not a perfect unlock system.
Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's the only game I can think of now that actually has unlockable characters.
Like fighting game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
love it though. Like, honestly, I think it's... like, for what I want from this game, it's fine. And I understand it's not perfect for a lot of people, but I kind of don't care. I think...
It's a staple of the series.
Yes.
And I don't know how they would get away from that.
No, and the other problem they're running into is, like, there aren't that many new characters, so, like...
yeah, there's, like, 4 or 5, right?
It's four? When you include Echoes, it's more like 8 or 9.
Okay, well, I don't.
Some people would.
Right.
But that means that, so you start with 8, there's like 9 or 10 new characters, which leaves another 50 other characters that you have to unlock that you've already played, that you're just kind of waiting for. Yeah. So, like, I get it. There's pros and cons.
Yeah, like, there's, and especially when it's like I'm really hanging out to play Cloud, because I've never played Cloud, and Cloud is not in the Spirit mode, because Square Enix are very weird like that.
Mm.
Like, every game, every character has more content in this game, apart from Cloud.
Yeah.
Like, every character's got new skins or songs. There's no new songs from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
It's probably just, like, the same license deal that they've, like, rolled over it's probably into this that. One or something like
but,
that.
But, like, I don't doubt they asked, and I bet you Square said no.
Yeah.
Maybe because of Dissidia.
Oh, maybe. It kind of doesn't matter, though, at this point, you know? Like,
Square probably think it matters because they make really strange business decisions, like selling off Hitman. yeah, like, I don't know. It's the... I want to play as Cloud. I want to see what Cloud is like to play as. Yeah. And I have no option to do that until he pops up.
Is it random?
It's ordered, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure it's ordered.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if it was random.
It would be.
I like Gotcha.
Yeah, no, totally, but like,
then you
no,
might play it.
No, play
it's definitely like Ness and then Bowser and okay. then
Lucas
and then 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 and then. Oh, Lucas is like 56.
Really?
Yeah, oh, I only just got him.
Right.
I still haven't unlocked. I've been playing all week and I still haven't unlocked everyone. Yeah. Well, I'm having a Smash party in a couple of days and I'm trying to have everyone ready.
Yeah,
but I don't think I'll get there quite in time. Yeah, no, I'm definitely glad it's here. Yeah, I don't know. What do you want to touch on for the last... We've got probably, 15 minutes now. Do you want to touch on these, like, these little headlines you got here, Jeremy?
Sure. So...
Mm-hmm.
China.
You'll ever hear about...
You'll have,
China.
You'll ever hear about them...
China is a country.
Big one.
Big one.
Fuck, man.
Big country.
Sure is.
Sure is.
Important country. China has banned a lot of games lately.
Like?
So, I'll go through the list. So the headline is... this is a Reddit headline, and it links to a source that's in Chinese. It says, China's ethic board reviews 20 popular online games, bans 9, requires changes to 11.
Oh, wow.
So, the games that are... Where's the list gone? Here we go. So, games that are banned. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Banned.
Fortnite.
Banned.
H1Z1. Alliance of the Valiant Arms.
I don't know what that is.
Ring of Elysium. Paladins. Free Fire. Knives Out. Quantum Matrix.
What?
Banned in China.
Did they say why?
The reason they gave were blood and gore, vulgar content, for the most of it. A few of them are over-revealing female characters.
Okay.
two of them say that, sorry. This is not the reason they're banned.
No.
This is undoubtedly not the reason they're banned. There have been, and so the ones that require changes, Corrective Action, Arena of Valor, League of Legends, Blade and Soul. There's one that's a Chinese game. Chu Liu Zhang. I'm not sure what that game is. Overwatch, Diablo, World of Warcraft. Westward Journey, Code Eva, The Legend of Myrrh 3, and Swords of Legends Online.
What the hell?
This has nothing to do with over-revealing female characters.
Or blood.
Rewards based on rank, distorted concept of history and culture. This is censorship because these are Western games for the most part.
Yeah, right.
Some of these are not Western games, but for the most part, it's like just they're trying to reduce the impact the West has on a lot of Chinese culture. This is a lot to do with the way their government has been reshaping in the past 18 months. And it's, really, really unfortunate and awful, honestly.
Absolutely. That's going to hit the industry.
I don't know what Tencent are going to do, honestly.
PUBG, Fortnite.
Two of the biggest games at the moment. World of Warcraft, Diablo, and Overwatch requiring changes based on their own versions. League of Legends as well.
Wow.
So they're still playable for now, as far as anyone can tell.
Until when? It'll probably just be a day and the Switch has been turned off.
It'll probably be just whenever they decide.
Oh, freaking shit, man. That's scary.
It is very scary.
When I was in high school, and I was doing global politics as a subject, we learned about China.
Mm-hmm.
We learned about some decisions they've made in the past and stuff like that. And every time it was brought up in class, every time I learned something new about the politics of that country and decisions they make, it made me angry.
Right, yeah.
It made me so mad. Like, there's areas of, like, northwestern China, sort of, like, to, like, the middle of Europe.
Yeah.
Where there's a strong Muslim community. And the Uyghurs, I think they're called. And they, what the Chinese government have done is they just pay people to go and move there and be Chinese. And so they're just basic, and then arresting the other group. So they're turning the main, like, culture of that city into a minority culture. And then they're arresting everyone for being, like, a different culture.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
Yeah.
You can see it all throughout legislation, like stuff like this. It's everything in that country. It's really, really quite unfortunate.
Yeah. There's also, like, a lot of it is, some of the corrective things that they're requiring is inharmonious chat, which means basically anonymous chat rooms, which they are very against, especially things like Tiananmen Square, which if you type that, you immediately get disconnected from the internet, I'm pretty sure, or something like that.
Oh, wow.
That's not new, that's old, talking about that incident, but, like, There's an extra credits about a game. So there's an extra credits about a game in China, which is a social game, which is your basically citizen points, and you get points by spreading state red, by sharing on your social media state news, by talking good things about the country, and about being friends with other people who also do that.
Sorry, is this a game that's from China that the Chinese have made?
This is a game. I'm not sure. I don't remember who made it. It's not made by China. I don't know if it's made by a Chinese company, but it's a state sponsored game.
Okay.
Which include things like you will lose citizen points, for the lack of a better term, if you associate with people who also share things that are critical of the government. And those points will become public. And some people will not get jobs because of those points.
Yeah.
And it is one of the most, like...
That's a fucking warning
sign. It is terrifying. It is one of the most, like, authoritarian, totalitarian things I've ever fucking heard. It is, like, it is obscene that exists. It is literally an episode of Black Mirror. And it's... I don't think it's mandatory yet, but I think it's, like, mandatory, like, sometime next year or something. And it's just fucked. It's just absolutely fucked.
Yeah, you're not wrong, and unfortunately, it's just going to keep being that way. There's not going to be a change of heart anytime soon that I can see, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Here we go. The official Communist Party version of Chinese history is written into Chinese law as a part of the PRC's constitution. Fantastical depictions of historical figures can be problematic, as is time travel, and unflattering depictions of revolutionary leaders is downright illegal. There was a movie that was banned in China not long ago because it included, like, a dragon or something.
Oh, right.
Oh, what was it? I don't remember what it was now.
What? Dragons aren't real.
Doesn't matter. It was like... Was it Ready Player One or something? It was something really bizarre.
Right.
It's...
alarm bells.
Yeah, I mean, it was alarm bells years ago, but yeah, this is just the move now.
Yeah, totally.
So
I hope the industry doesn't get hit too hard. I mean, Fortnite's still... All of those games have plenty of audience across the board, but China is a massive market to be losing out on.
Mm. Like, especially for a game like PUBG, which has been somewhat losing an audience.
Yeah, it has. It's been on the decline.
Yeah.
It's not out, it's not done.
Yeah.
So it's been declining. Which, you know, Some would say it's inevitable when you're riding such highs, but, you know, Fortnite's still coasting, so...
Yeah.
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 I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll watch the financials.
On to a lighter note.
Yep.
The Sonic movie poster.
Yep. Sure looks fuzzy.
That boy got legs.
That little man.
That.
He's real.
It's fucking weird.
I feel like I'm looking at Pinocchio in real life.
I don't know what his face is going to look like.
I don't want to know.
No, neither do I really. Yeah. Like, looking at it gives me, like, Detective Pikachu vibes in terms of, like, the fur. You know what I mean?
No, but Pikachu looks cute. This looks ungodly.
Well, no, Detective Pikachu looks great while it's in motion. Nothing in that trailer looked good still. It all looked a bit like,
Right, yeah.
Is it just because you're not used to it, though, is the thing?
I mean, partly, but also, like, they look a little bit too realistic, so, like, the motion sort of helps to, like, blend it out and make it seem a bit more natural. I'll hold my breath until the trailer, I think, for me.
For Sonic.
Yeah. What did you think?
I
want to see Jim Carrey's Dr. Eggman so bad.
I just don't trust anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. That's sensible, honestly.
The Sonic's voice actor is really good.
Cool.
It's a Ben Schwartz. He was in Parks and Rec. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Oh, right, okay.
Was he in Parks and Rec?
I don't know the character's name.
He was Rob Lowe.
He's not Rob Lowe. Oh, imagine Rob Lowe or Sonic.
That wouldn't make any sense.
All right, then imagine Sonic in the West Wing.
See, it's a joke because I said an actor's name.
I watch movies. I watch movies sometimes.
I think there's only one thing left I've got on here
that
I want to talk about. DayZ is coming out of Early Access.
Yep.
Sometime soon.
Did they not give it
up? No, they do. I just don't remember off the top of my head.
Oh, okay.
Which is wild, honestly.
You want to talk about a declining user base.
User base?
What?
I don't have a user base anymore.
Oh.
I mean, like, apparently they do. Like, the game has had a steady few thousand people who have been staying there. Like, it hasn't gone down.
That's rough.
From
the highs of the original Arma 2 mod. Did either of you two play the original mod? Yeah.
No, I've never played DayZ.
I played like maybe 10, probably less actually, more like 5 or 6 hours.
I played a lot of hours of that.
I never had fun. Like, I'd always spawn in the dark in the middle of the night and just run through a forest, get bitten, and then bleed out.
Did you play with people?
Yeah, but we couldn't find each other.
Ah, okay. I mean, half the fun was talking while you're trying to find each other.
Oh, great.
I'm just gonna find the release date.
That's like when Fortnite will come out of beta. It's like, guys, come on.
DayZ release. Yeah, like I would like to play that game again, honestly. I would like to know what the game is like now. DayZ will officially be released out of Early Access for Windows on the 13th of December, which is today! Tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow. and for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One in early 2019.
Ah, so that's what they're getting for the console release.
Yeah. Just in time for them to announce the next gen.
I reckon that'll happen 2020, not next year.
I wonder what that's like now.
Yeah, I saw a video actually relatively recently. It still looks really janky. Like,
yeah.
The melee looks really, like, uncomfortable and like, a bit laggy when things go wrong and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know. That was the hit game in, like, 2011.
That was the thing I wanted to talk about.
Oh.
PUBG has a new map.
Oh, yeah, Vikendi.
I am so excited. June, have you seen it?
No, but I'd be interested in playing PUBG again.
Yeah.
It's a snow map.
Yeah.
The footprints are persistent.
You were talking about the footprints like 6+ months ago.
I was talking about the footprints years ago. I have wanted this since they announced the second map.
Yeah.
Red Dead track them now.
Literally that. Literally. So when they announced the second map.
You're so excited.
I'm so excited. So the second map is the one of the desert. And I was like, oh, that'd be cool. You could just do some cool stuff with the desert. But what if it was snow? And... Yep. I was immediately, all I want to do is hunt. All I want to do is crawl through the snow and follow other people's tracks.
You know, it's funny because it was the last Game Awards when they announced the last map, when they announced the desert.
The desert.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, that's it. Like, I'm excited to go in the snow. I want to be a cold killer.
Yeah. I've seen some really cool clips, like there's snow bikes.
Oh, that's cool. Like the fucking James Bond ones?
Yeah, like the ones that have got like the skis on the front.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Oh, makes sense.
When does it come out?
It's on the test servers right now, so probably in the next week or two. They don't announce too far ahead when they're going to push it live, because like it's literally like a day or two and they can do it once they decide it's ready.
Yeah.
But they've said it's coming to consoles in January, so it'll be in the next week or two. The only thing stopping us from downloading the test server is that Ollie, who we play with, doesn't have the internet to download it, basically.
It's also like another install of that game.
Yeah, and like, who could be bothered?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I reckon we'll be on it.
Line it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll start the download. I'll start the download now, so it'll be done by the time.
Yeah, but then you have to start another one when the second map comes out. And the second map is like another 6 or 7 gig.
We'll put it on like white on snow.
What?
What? Don't give me those eyebrows. I don't know what you're talking about.
White on snow.
White on snow? Haven't heard that expression? Like white on rice?
No.
We were talking about snow, so.
Can you end the podcast now?
I think I probably should now that I've said all that. I feel a bit gross, but I don't know why, but that's fine. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening.
We made it. We kept up. The footage worked.
Yay!
We have audio files.
Oh,
I don't know how I'm going to sync it, because that's my problem. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. This has been Minimapcast episode number 6. This is minimap.com.au's bi-weekly podcast. You can find all of our podcasts and word content as well on minimap.com.au. You can also find us on basically every podcasting service, but if you find one that we're not on and you would like us to be there, hit us up. We'll help you out. We're happy for us to be places that we don't know where we're not yet. You can find us in various places. Jeremy, where are you on Twitter?
At @obi1jez.
I am at @kjpalmer_24, or also on Instagram, where I've been more active recently, is @kjpalmer24, no underscore. June?
Junez, JUN_EWS.
That's on Twitter, and you can find Minimap at @minimapau on Twitter. You can find our other podcast account at @gamespoilerspod on Twitter. Feel free to write us a conversation if you want to talk about anything, any of the things we've spoken about here.
If you have a conversation that you just want us to read, write us a conversation.
Yeah, write us a conversation.
We'll read it.
Yeah.
We'll proof it. We'll give you some thoughtful edits and, you know, we'll get back to you. Our most recent episode of the Game Club that we just recorded was about Event Zero, which is about a chatbot sort of like game in VR where you're talking to
an AI. VR.
VR?
You said VR.
In space. I meant space.
Same thing.
With VR. Like a chatbot in space where you're talking to the AI through text. It's very good. We all talked about it and enjoyed it, and I won't give it away because we spoke about it in another podcast.
We spoke about that game a lot.
And the next game, if you want to get in on it and get in on the conversation as well, is going to be The Return of the Obra Dinn, which we mentioned in this episode, I think, for winning Best Art Direction. I think that's about all we've got. Thank you again so much for listening, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
For Christmas!
Yeah.
And Game of the Year. Shit.
Yeah. We'll have all of that juicy, spicy content from Minimap for you and your ears.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.